Okay, we're starting here at the top of Ayin Aleph and Mid Aleph by the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Ganav Mishel Aviv, Vachal Beshut Aviv. He stole from his father. Here we're going through the requirements of what would classify someone as a Ben Sorer or Moreh. We talked about before in the previous Mishnah that it has to be involved Basar V'Yayin. That has to be the items that he's attracted to. And we say because he's going to have to then steal in order to eat the Basar and Yayin. So where does he steal from and where does he eat that which he's stolen? So if he stole from his father and then ate within his own household, within the confines of the house, of his father's house, Mishel Acherim, if he stole from others, V'chal B'shut Acherim, but and also ate in the confines of someone else's property, Mishel Acherim, or if he stole from someone else, V'chal B'shut Aviv, Eino Naseh Ben Sorer U'Moreh, then he's not a Ben Sorer U'Moreh. The Gemara will discuss why, what the mitigating factors in each of these situations are. Ad, what's the qualification? Actually, Gnov Mishel Aviv, he must steal from his father, V'chal B'shut Acherim, and eat in someone else's property. Not simply that he steals from his father, but he must also steal from his father and his mother. So now the Gemara says, okay, what's the problem here? He steals from his father and eats in his father's property. So now, two factors that we discussed before is, number one, it has to be shchiach. It has to be available to him in order to keep up this style of living, or to be attracted to it, or to be caught up in it. And we'll use the term addiction loosely. Plus, it has to be in a situation where there's no chance that he'll be stopped from doing it. So number one, when he's stealing from his father, it's available to him because he's always in the household. So that is available. But bite, he's afraid because if his father catches him or if his parents see him, they're going to chastise him. They're going to stop him. So if he's stealing from his father, even though now it's available to him, it qualifies on one end. The second side is that it's just not going to be, he's not going to do it all the time because his father's going to see or his parents are going to see and they're going to stop him. So that can't be the qualification to become a Ben Sorer U'Moreh because he won't do it all the time because of that fear factor. Mishel Acherim V'Achal B'Shut Acherim. The next case in the Mishnah where he steals from others and eats in their property, Avagav Dilo Bayit. Over there he's not fearful because nobody's going to chastise him or stop him. I mean, it's in other people's property. There, he doesn't have the rule of his father over him. Nevertheless, Lo Shchiach Le, it's not readily available to him. When you have to go steal from others, that takes much more effort and exertion to go ahead and steal from others. So since it's not readily available, it fails on that count. So V'chol Shekein, and certainly in a case, Mishel Acherim, V'chal B'shut Aviv, he steals from others, which is not readily available to him, and he's eating in his father's house, I mean his own household, where he's Bayit, the Lo Shchiach Le Bayit, it's not available to him, and he's afraid because his father would chastise him, then it doesn't work. Ad, Shignov Mishel Aviv, he steals from his father, which is readily available, V'yochal B'shut Achim, and eat in other people's property where they will not chastise him. V'shchiach Le, V'lo Bayit. In that case, it's readily available, he will have it all the time, plus, he's not afraid. So that's in order to be a Ben Sorer U'Moreh, again, we're gonna, the Mishnayot will lead to this, and tomorrow's Dav eventually, at the point of, a Ben Sorer U'Moreh is that he don't know shame so full. In the end, we're looking to see what will become of him in the end. So now we have to preclude the possibility that something will change or that this behavior will not continue. So again, one of the qualifications or two of the qualifications are, number one, it's shchiach, that he can get available all the time, he can get a hold of it all the time. So shchiach is very important because otherwise he won't develop this taste for it or this lifestyle that he'll have to emulate later on and then go to a life of crime to emulate. Number two is the lo bayit. He has to be in a place where he's not afraid, or he's not fearful of the repercussions of his actions. If it's by, if his parents are there and they're going to stop him, they're going to intervene, then we say he's not going to continue doing this. But if there's nobody intervene, meaning that he's doing it somewhere else where nobody's going to stop him, then we're already worried because then, again, it's readily available to him. And nobody's stopping him, so he's going to lead down a path of, or a lifestyle that's going to lead to a path of crime. And so that's what the Mishnah says. He has to be both shchiach and lo bayit. Those are the qualifications, and therefore he has to steal from his parents and eat it in someone else's possession. So now the Gemara says, imo menolo. How does his mother have independent ownership? Whatever a woman owns is already owned. She's just an extension of her husband, and the husband has the true property ownership over here. If that's the case, then a woman has no independent ownership. How is he stealing from his mother and his father? He can't steal from his mother. His mother doesn't own anything to steal from. It's a meal that was being prepared for his mother and father. So since his father is chayav in the mizonotah of his mother, therefore the food really belongs to his mother because it's something that he has to pay or give to the mother. And therefore, when he steals from it, he's stealing both from his father and his mother. Where it says, wait a minute, how could you say that? V'amar Rabbi Chanan bar Molda, Amar Rav Huna, Eino Chayav, Ad Shikne Basar B'Zov, Yechol Yain B'Zov, Yishteh. So you're not chayav until you buy meat bizol and you eat it, and then you buy wine cheaply and eat it. Meaning that what's indicative or what comes out of this is that he has the money. He steals the money and then expends the money on these items, on wine and meat, and then he eats them. Not that he actually steals meat and wine, but rather he steals money and then he uses the money in order to purchase these items. Now over here you're talking about him stealing a meal. Stealing a meal, then he's not using money to buy or purchase the items. So that's the midmei suda muchenet aviv limo. So amended to read this, he stole from the monies that were set aside to pay for a meal for his mother and father. So those monies already designated for mother and father. Again, his father, his chayav, and his wife's, who is his mother's mizonot, and therefore his mother has a kinyan or has some sort of ownership there. And because of that, he's stealing now from his mother's father. He takes that money, expends it on basar v'yayin, steals money from his parents, which we require. It has to be stolen from the parents. And then he buys basar v'yayin and eats them somewhere else. That will make him into a ben sorer umora. Ibai deima, dakni lo acher, v'amar la, menach ein lebalech rishut behen. That they do a kinyan, someone grants property to his mother, where on condition that the father has no rights in that property. So that's right. That's also points out this base. It's a machlokas in the first parak in Kiddushin, whether you can do such a thing. According to Rav Sheshes, that you can. This gemara would be according to that. Rav Sheshes, who says you can do such a kinyan, so you can be maknet to the woman without any ownership of her husband, and that's how the woman have independent ownership, and therefore you could steal for both his mother and his father. Right now, the next Mishnah, ya aviv rotzeh v'imo eno rotzeh. Aviv eno rotzeh v'imo rotzeh. So if his father wants to bring him to court or to have him be done as a ben sorer umera, but his mother refuses, or the father refuses v'imo rotzeh and his mother does want it, eno rotzeh ben sorer umera, ashei shneim rotzim. They both have to acquiesce or be in agreement that he needs to be charged as a ben sorer umera. Not only that, the father and the mother are not appropriate couple, then he's also not ben sorer umera. We have to discover what that means, not to be an appropriate couple, that the Gemara will ask. So, what does it mean that they're not appropriate for each other? If you're talking about an illicit marriage, a marriage that is not condoned by the Torah, which you will get either karet or chayiv mitot beizdin for, sof avua Avua ninhu, and ime ninhu. Alright, true, their marriage is not a good marriage. But in the end, one is the father and one's the mother. What does it have to do with that they're ruya and not ruya? I mean, it's a halachic problem that they shouldn't be married, but in the end, he is fathered and mothered by these two individuals and their mother's father. Ella b'shaveh aviv kamar. No, it means that they have to be equal on other, in the physical traits between them. What does that mean? Tanya nami hochi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, v'ayta imo shaveh aviv b'kol, they have to have the same voice, the same appearance, and the same height in order to be a ben sorer umera. Now, my time, where does this come from? Because they come and they speak in the plural form on behalf of them that he does not listen to our voices. Right, since the Torah demands that koleinu is that a joint voice that is speaking to the child, that they have to have the same voice, then marev koma nami bein and shavin, and we also require that they have the same appearance and the same height. So now, kaman azlo, who goes with this? Hadatanya ben sorer umera lo hayav lo atid liyot, that ben sorer umera never took place. There was no such case, and never will be. V'lama nichtav, so why is it in the Torah? Drosh v'kabel schar. I should learn it and get schar from learning it. Kaman, so the Gemara says, ki Rabbi Yehuda. That's right, like Rabbi Yehuda, because this type of qualification, that the parents be identical, is a qualification that's just too impossible. I mean, that already the requirements are so narrow and so almost considered to be impossible. Now you add on top of that, that the parents be identical. Already once you reach that point, it's too much. It's to ask for that the possibility of such a thing happening is so remote that we say it never happened. And that the reason the Torah wrote it is Kadosh Kabos Char. V'ibaitim Rabbi Shimoni. Some people say that it's Rabbi Shimon author is. The time Rabbi Shimon mifnei minichim pnei. So zeh achal tatimar basar v'shatach hatzei lo g'yayin atalki aviv v'imom mutzim otolu saklo. Here, because this individual had a nice piece of meat, they drank some wine, he's gonna be put to death, his parents are gonna stone him. So it never happened, it never will happen. Why is it written in order to be drosh kabos char? The following Mishnah, we're gonna have a Mishnah that takes issue with that position and say that al shem sofo, that he's really punished not because of what he does now, but in the future. And then Amar Rabbi Yonatan, when it comes to this, ani reitiv, yeshavti al kivro. I saw one, and I sat on his kever. I mean, I knew that there was a ben sorer umera, and I sat on his kever. I mean, I'm certain that such a thing did happen. So now, the question is, why does Rabbi Yehuda require this type of identical, parents be identical? And what comes out from a lot of the Rishonim or in their explanations of what the requirement here is that they have to speak to the child in the same voice, that we have to be clear that this child is getting instruction from both parents, but a similar type of instruction, an identical type of instruction. We want to know that they're of the same mindset, that the parents are in agreement and treat and educate the child in the same way. I mean, if there's already a difference between the parents in the education of the child, we might deem the child's issues or problems as stemming from the fact that the parents are educating him or they have stirot in their education of him. What we want to be clear here is that the problem stems from the child, and he's getting a consistent message that he's not listening to, and therefore in the future we see no hope that he's going to do tshuva, because here we have a consistent message being given to him and he's still failing to adhere to his parents' instructions. So therefore we assume it's going to lead to this lifestyle will lead to a life of crime. Well then, if the problems stem from the fact that there's a difference in the parents' education philosophies, or there's a difference in the way the parents treat the child, then we can say, wait, this problem could be rectified. The problem is stemming not from the child himself, but rather from the inconsistency between the parents. So that might be the requirement of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, it's taken to an extreme in a sense that Rabbi Yehuda says it has to be consistent, identical. They have to be identical, but Rabbi Yehuda's message is clear, which is that parents have to be consistent in giving the child a message. If they're not consistent, then the confusion or the problems that stem from the child might be because of the inconsistencies that he's receiving from his parents. Again, Ben Sarur and Meir were focused on the child, this inability of this child to get to a point of tshuva or to change his ways, and it has to be that it stems from the child, and it has to be a lifestyle that's going to be irreversible, or there's no hope of reversing it. And again, we're going to speak about it again tomorrow, whether that's, again, the fact that it never happened might be exactly that, that there always is a chance for tshuva. Or even if you say it does happen, the fact that there's such narrow or such restrictions about how he can become Ben Sarur and Meir, the underlying assumption is that most times there is a way to rectify the child, there's a way to get him back. It might be hard, it might be difficult, it might take a lot, but there is a way to get him back. When we say the case is hopeless, right, we don't want to reach that point where there's hopelessness. And that might be the drosh v'kabel schar. Drosh v'kabel schar means that you don't, that reach that point of hopelessness, right, there are factors or symptoms that indicate to us. So the Torah gives us those symptoms and the factors might contribute to this lifestyle or someone in the future will be problematic. But we should notice, we should see, note the symptoms. We should see the problems that cause this type of behavior. But we should always be hopeful that we can rectify it. And that's why there was never a Ben Sarur and Meir, or it was very infrequent. So now the Gemara continues. Kaman Azla Hadatanya. Who goes like this? Brisa. Yarni Dachad Loitav Loitav Tida Liyot. The Yarni Dachad never took place and never will happen. Why was it written in the Torah? Drosh v'kabel schar. Again, to be of drasha, get schar. Come on. Who's this? Go like Rabbi Eliezer. The tiny Rabbi Eliezer, miracle, ir sheish ba afilu mezuzah achat, in an asit ir adidachat. There's even one mezuzah in the city, then it doesn't become a mirni dachat. So what's the technical halachic reason? My time, amar kruah, pasuk says, vet kosh alalatik botzo toch rechava, that you have to take all the spoils of the city, meaning after you killed all its residents, you take all the possessions of the city, v'saraf tabesh, and you burn them. You burn it up. The came into Ika mezuzah lo efshar. If there's a mezuzah there, there's a restriction against burning up the kodesh or the shemot Hashem. Lo efshar dechtiv lo tasum kein Hashem lokechem, because you're not allowed to do this to Hashem lokechem. It says bibantem et shemam. It says that you have to wipe out the avodah zarah. And juxtaposed to that, it says don't do this to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're not allowed to wipe out the shem Hashem. You're not allowed to destroy items that are kadosh and that have the shem Hashem in them. So Rashi points out, it's not just the mezuzah, v'chosh kein echad min achumashim, or sefer mikon neviim, skarat Hashem k'tuva sham. Meaning that the mezuzah is the least of them, meaning that even if you have chumashim and you neviim, all these types of, or clay kodesh that involve the shem Hashem, all of them will prevent you from being able to create something that's an irai dachat. This again might relate to the same problem of Ben Sarur and Meir, which is that there is a nitzotz of kedusha here. There's something that, there is hope here. There is something that we could change over here. Irani dachat, we're going to wipe out an entire city. We're going to say that everything is gone. There's nothing left because they worship the avodah zarah, the whole city. But they have mezuzot, they have chumashim, they have neviim. It's an indication that there was something here. There's something to latch onto and that maybe we can rectify the problem here. So again, Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Yonatan. Again, he makes a statement. And he read, Tia, I saw such a city, v'yashavti al tila, and I sat on the piles, meaning that the remnants of such a city that was burnt up, I saw it, there was such a thing called the Irani Dachat. So, k'man az lahad d'tanya, b'ayit ha-mnuga, lo yav lo atid liyot, that a house that had tzoras never happened and will never happen, lama nechtav, and why is it written, drosh v'kabal schar, for drosh and kabal schar, k'man, k'rabalazar b'rabbi Shimon. That's like Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, the Tanan, Rabbi Elazar, b'rabbi Shimon, omer alolam, ena bayit ha-mei, ad shirekishtei grisim, ashtei avanim. Rabbi Shimon has a requirement, number one, that the size of a nega is a gris a la gris. But Rabbi Shimon says that negei batim have to be two grisim on two avanim, meaning that you have a gris by a gris on two different stones. B'shtei kotlim, they have to be on two walls. B'keren zavit, it has to be on a corner. The only way you can have two stones on two walls that are together form one nega that has enough of this is on a corner. Arkosh shnei grisim, rachvo ki gris. It's two gris long and one gris wide. Why? Because then if you have it on a corner of a wall, if you picture the corner of a wall, you have two stones that come to a head at the corner of the wall. This nega is on one stone, a grease by a grease, and on the other stone, a grease by a grease, and they connect to the middle. So it makes the nega, the full nega, is two grease by one grease. So that's the requirement in order to have a nega that you will be considered nige b'batim. So that's almost like a near impossibility, because you need two avanim in the corner of the kotel of this size. It seems to be almost impossible. My time, to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, where does he learn this from? He says, the pasuk says, k'tiv kir, k'tiv kirot. The pasuk by nigei badkim says kir habayit. It uses it in the singular, and k'tiv kirot in the plural. Ezu kir shu kirot. What is a wall that's really two walls? Havi amar kir zek keren zavit. That's the corner. The corner is a point in the wall where there's really two parts. There are two walls, but it's really one wall. Like we have by the mizbeach when you have shtei matanot shein arba. How do you sprinkle on two sides of the mizbeach and end up with bleeding all four sides? When you sprinkle on the corner, when you throw the blood, shofech the dud on the corners, then it splashes to the two directions. So same thing over here. How do you have one kir that's kirot in the corner? When you go to that one location, it involves two points or two walls. So since that's the qualifications or the necessity or the threshold to become a nigei batim is so high, it's nearly impossible, or it is impossible, so there will never be such a thing as nigei batim. Satan Yam Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Tzadok, Makaya, B'tchum Aza. There was a place on the edge of Aza, V'yakorin Oto, Churvat Skirata. They call it the destroyed Sagur, the one that had been closed up. That's a Bayit HaSagur, is a Bayit that was Mnuga, that was closed up. So they call this is the leftovers, the remnants of a house that was destroyed because it had Negaim. And Amar Rabbi Shimon Ish Kvarako, Pam Achad Alachti the Galil, I was up in the Galil, V'raiti Makom Shematzayinim Oto. So a place that they marked off as being a place of Tumah. Amru, and he asked them, wait, why are you marking this off? Then are the graves here? Why is it that you're marking off? And they said, Avanim Minugaot Pinul Disham. When they took out the Avanim from the house, which is one of the stages in Nigei Batim, is to remove the stones from the house and then replace them with new stones. So those stones they take out are Metame, because they're Metame Ba'ohel. They have like a Tumah, like the equivalent of Tumata Mate. Therefore, they have to be put away. And number two, not only put away, but they also have to be marked off. So people are Kohanim, don't go past there and become Tame. So he says, I had such a place. I saw a place where they've marked it off because of the stones of the Negaim. So again, he's mitigating the testimony that there was no such case. Because here we see that there were remnants of such a case. Right now, next Mishnah. Ayan mechan mehem gideim o chiger o ilim o sum'a o chayresh en rosei ben sorer o moreh. If one of them was a gideim, was missing arms, o chiger, was lame, missing a leg, o ilim, was unable to speak, o suma, blind, o chereish, unable to hear, eino naseh ben sorer umareh. Is it either one of the parents had one of these incapacities or disabilities, then the child cannot become a ben sorer umareh. Why? Shenemar, because the pasuk says, v'tasu bo aviv imo, that they have to grab him, v'lo gidmim, they have to have arm or hands to grab onto him, v'lo tzioto, they have to take him out, v'lo chigrim. And not those that are missing legs. I mean, they have to be able to take him to the Beis Din. Vamru, they have to be able to say to the Beis Din what it is. Velo ilmim, and not those that are unable to speak. Beneinu zeh, they have to be able to say this child, meaning zeh literally, velo sumin, those that can't see him. And enu shumea bekolinu, he doesn't listen to our voice. Velo cherishin. How do they know if he's not listening to their voice, if they are deaf? Meaning that they have to be able to, or cheresh, he might be both unable to speak and unable to hear, but they can't hear his response to what they're saying. So therefore it's not, all of these disqualify them from bringing their child to the Beis Din. Matching bo bifnei shlusha, they warn him in front of three. Umalkinoto, and they give him malchus. That's the first round of the ben sorer umareh. Chazar v'kilkel, if he continues to act or continues this lifestyle, nidon b'asrim v'shlusha. Then he's taken to beis din 23. Ve'no niskal sheisham shlusha rishonim. But in that beis din 23, have to be included the three from the first beis din that gave him the warning. Shneimar b'neinu zeh shelaka bifnechem. B'neinu zeh, when they're referring, they're pointing the beis din. This our child here is the one who you already gave malchus to. Now we're bringing him to you, and you have to take care of him because he's still violating or he's still keeping up this lifestyle. So I said, Shema Mina. From this you conclude, being in Kroakid Yechtiv. You have to take Pesukim literally. So this happens to be a Machlokas earlier in the Masechta. So it sounds like from our Mishnah, they took the Pasuk literally, that the parents have to be exact, they have to be able to do everything in the Pasuk literally. Where it says, no, Shani Hoch over here, it's different. Tekule Kra Yeterahi. This Pasuk was totally extraneous. I mean, this Pasuk was not necessary to be written here. You could have just written, Votzeitim Otel El Sharayir. Take him at the Sharayir. What's this? They have to go through all the verbs, describe detail by detail. V'tafsu Otel, V'lachu Otel, V'mnenu Zeh. All of these extra verbiage and words are coming, are all extraneous. So this is their extraneous reduction from each one of them, a restriction, but not that we always take the psukim literally. Right? Amatrim bil b'fnei shlosha. We warn him in front of three. You give him a warning in front of three people. Gemara says, lamali, why do I have to have three? Betray sagyo, it's enough with two. So Rabbi Yochikamar, Machim bo b'fnei shnayim, malkin oto b'fnei shlosha. No, you warn him in front of two, but you give malkus in front of three, like a regular beis din. You need a beis din to give the malkus, but that shua is done before two. So malkus ben sorer umereh heichiktiva. Wait, all of a sudden this Mishnah introduces that there's a earlier stage where you give him malkus before you put him to death. Where does that come from? Can you Rabbi Yevo? That goes to Rabbi Yevo. Darom reibadu lamadneu v'yisru. V'yisru, v'yisru miben, oben miben. V'yayim bin hakot ha-rasha. So how do we know? This is the Gemara wants to know in another place. How do we know that there is Malkus by Motzi Shemra? Motzi Shemra, it says over there, that the basin by Yisru Oto. So when it says by Yisru Oto, how do we know that's Malkus? So the Gemara draws a Zer Shavah too. Ben Sorer Omer, where it also says by Yisru Oto. So since they use the term, the verb, Yisru Yisru over here, there's also over here, but Ben Sorer Omer, it says Ben. And by Malkus, it says by Ya Im Bin Hakot HaRasha. So Ben teaches you Malkus from the Parsha of Malkot. To here in the parsha Ben Sorer Umereh, you have Ben, and then once you have it by Ben Sorer Umereh, we have another Gzer Shav of Yisru from here to the Yisru of Motzi Shemra, and that's how we know Malkus. But there we know that the Ben Sorer Umereh does get Malkus over here from that Gzer Shav. So hi, so over here it says V'Chazar V'Kikel Nidon B'Chav Gimel. It says that if he does again, he violates it. He has to get a little base in 23. Hi, mi bayile. Wait a minute. How do you know that you have to have the original three if they're part of the new base in the three? We said in the Mishnah, it says because it says B'nei Nuzeh. Wait a minute. We already used B'nei Nuzeh to teach us that they can't be sumim. They can't be blind. So we have mi bayile zeh velo sumim. So in can l'ktov B'nei Nuhu. They can say B'nei Nuhu. My B'nei Nuzeh. So the extra, so you learn out two things. One, B'nei Nuhu, and then B'nei Nuzeh. The addition of the word Ezeh is Shema Minat Tarte. You learn both things out. Number one, that the Dayanim that were part of the first time that he got Malkus will be included in this Basin of 23, as well as the fact that the parents cannot be Sumim. Okay, next Mishnah. Mishnah says, Barach, Achlo Nigmar Dino. If he ran away before they were able to finish the sentencing of him, and then he aged out, meaning that he became out of the age where he could still be chayav as a Ben Sorer Omer, he's patur. He's patur because we can't bring him to trial anymore because he's now overage. If he already finished the din, then barach, and then he ran away, and then he became older, chayav, because we already sentenced him. We already had a conclusion to the din before he aged out of the possibility of being a Ben Sorer Omer. So I'm Rabbi Chanina, Ben Noach, Shibirech et Hashem. Ben Noach, that Chas V'Shalom was Mikalel et Hashem. V'achar kach nitkayer, and then he decides he wants to be a ger. He wants to convert to Judaism. Patur. Then he's patur. Why? Ho v'nishtane dino v'nishtane et mitato. Because first of all, his din is different now as a Ben Yisrael, and number two is his mita is different. The punishment will be different. Nishtane dino is because a Ben Noach doesn't require aid. It doesn't require hatra, it doesn't require a bezdin of shalosh or chav gimel. I mean, all those things, all those dinim do not apply to a ben noach, they only apply to a ben Yisrael. So that's nishtane dino. Number two is nishtane et mitato, is that a ben noach is only punished one way. He gets saif. Whereas a ben Yisrael does this, gets skilo. So now you can't have him, he's changed. Everything that would be, how he'd be punished, and what he'd be punished would have changed. So because of that change, we can't execute him, we can't bring him to din, because of the change of converting. Gemara says, Neima Masayle, let's bring a proof to this position of Rabbi Chanina from our Mishnah. Baruch Achlo Yigmar Dino, if he ran away before he finished the din, V'achakach Hikiv Zaken Atachton, afterwards he grew out of the age where he's still Chayav as a Ben Sorer Omer, Patur, my time, huh? What's the reason? Lamishum Darmin Holbi Ishtani Ishtani. His body's changed now. He's already aged out. We can't bring him to trial anymore. So if that's the case, that would uphold Rabbi Chanina's position. When something changes, whether it's the physical properties or the din that changes over here, we don't execute anymore. Where's the law? Shani Ocha. By the case of Ben Sorer, it's different. He Alvad Ashta Lav Barkatolu. If he did it right now, he wouldn't be Chayv Mitzo. Meaning that we can't bring him to din. If he did the exact same action right now, he would not be culpable. So that's why now he's Patur. If we bring him to din now on what he did before, he's also not Chayav. Whereas by a Birkat Hashem, maybe that's not true. Ben Noach, if he did this now, he would be culpable. We would bring him to din. True. He'd have a different din, and he'd have a different outcome to the sentencing or the execution, but nevertheless, he still could be brought to din now. So therefore, maybe he should be chayav, and maybe that doesn't agree with Rabbi Chanina. So when it says Tashma, maybe we should conclude the opposite from our Mishnah, and this would undermine Rabbi Chanina. Why? If he ran away after he finished his din, and afterwards he aged out, chayav. Then he's chayav. So Nigmar Dino Kamart. Right, so now, wait a minute. So now it sounds like that even if he's Nigmar Adin and then he runs away and he ages out, he still gets punished. Wait, why should he get punished? It's Ishtane, he's too old now. Gemara says, wait a minute, Nigmar Dino Kamart, you're talking about Nigmar Din, Gvar Katilo. When the Gemar Din happens, when we come to the sentencing and it's done, right, at that point in time, he's a dead man. I mean, Bezin has to carry out the execution, but his status is the status of a dead man already. If he's a dead man already, then it doesn't matter when he runs away and we find him later. He was already dead, so he happened to be running. He's a dead man running around, but we still have to put him to death at this point because it doesn't matter. At this point in time, it's not going to matter what age he is because we already concluded the whole case while he was still in the age of Ben Sarur Moreh. Tashma. Benoach sheikat chaveiro, ubal ish et chaveiro. Benoach hit his fellow Benoach, but hit him, meaning he killed him. And Ubal Ishit Chaveron, he slept with his friend's wife when he was still Ben Noach. Nitzgayer Patur, in this case he's Patur. Asa Kain Be Israel, if he does this to a Jewish man, he killed a Jewish person, or he had killed a, he took a wife of a Jewish man or a Jewish woman who was married to a Jewish man. Nitzgayer Chayav, in that case he is Chayav. Vamai. So why don't we say, Neme, Behovi Ishtane Ishtane Dino? Right? So Holy Ishtane Ishtane, why don't we just say, that it changed. Everything's changed now. If everything's changed, why is he culpable anymore for what he did when he was a Ben Noach? But it says, Dino umitato beinon. We need both his din to change and what he'll be executed with to change. But hi, Dino ishtane. True, the din changes. Mean that he is still, we need edim, hatra'ah, need a different type of beis din between that. That's changed. But mitato lo ishtane, he's gonna be punished the same way. So now, but what do you mean he's gonna be punished the same way? What's the punishment for a Ben Noach? Ben Noach always gets the mitah of saif. What's the punishment for killing? Punishment for killing is saif. She's gonna get the same thing. Vayishadish, what's the punishment? So now you run into a problem. That's what the Gemara's gonna ask. Now wait a minute. Ishadish, Ben Noach always gets, punished with saif. Ben Yisrael would only get chenek. So there is a change over there. So now how are you gonna deal with that? So Bishlam Rotseach mi kara saif, hashta saif. When he's a Ben Noach, he gets put to death by the sword. Meaning that when he kills, and hashta saif. And also now it's a saif. He gets put to death by the sword. Ishadish mi kara saif. In the beginning, when he's a Ben Noach, he's punished by the Saif. Ahashta Chenek. Now he gets punished with Chenek when he's a Ben Yisrael. So what do you mean it didn't change? It did change. When it says, Benara Hamura Asa, Deividi Biskilo. There's talking about an Ara Hamura Asa. So we learned this earlier in the Gemara that by the Shiva Mitzvah Bnei Noach, that they have application in Arayot that apply to Israel. What does it mean they have application in Arayot of Israel? That means that if there's an Arayot in Israel that the Ben Noach don't hold of, which is Nara Hamura Asa, for them, that the only din of Eshet Ish is when she's a Bi'ula, she's coming to the Chuppah, she has a Bi'ula. Nara Murasa has no meaning for them as a Ben Noach. Therefore, they will get punished like a Ben Yisrael. I mean, if they do this, if they violate, they take a Nara Murasa, a Jewish woman who's a Nara Murasa, and they sleep with her as an Eshet Ish, then they will be punished like a Jew, because in Ben Noach, there is no halacha like that. So what's the halacha of someone who sleeps with a Nara Murasa? Punishment is Skila. So just like a Jew would get skila, so too a Ben Noach would get skila in this case. That's how they're identical. So v'idividi b'skila. So, now wait, what about the second half of this statement in the Braisa? So it says, im asa kein b'Yisrael, dumya de'eshet chavero k'tani. Wait a minute, if you did the identical thing to a Jew, then he would be chayav. So I don't understand that. Meaning that if it was when it was a case of a Ben Noach, we said he's patur. When he does it with a Jew, then he is chayav because the din says the same. But how could you say that? It says asa kein b'Yisrael dumya de'eshet chavero. He has to do something to a Jewish woman that he could do to a non-Jewish woman that he could do to a Ben Noach. Ben Noach naram rasa doesn't apply, so he couldn't have violated naram rasa to a Ben Noach. Now you say, oh, if he did this with Yisrael, then he's chayav. Well, if he did it with a Ben Noach, it doesn't exist. So then, how can you say he did that with the Ben Noach and then he does it with Ben Yisrael? There's no such concept of naram rasa by Ben Noach. So how are you going to explain this? So Gemara says, no. Ella? The answer is kala b'chamura mishach shaycha. So this is the answer of the Gemara. The Gemara says that a lighter form of punishment is subsumed in a greater form of punishment. That means as you elevate the type of mitat based on you have, that's all inclusive. So now I say mitat of skila, which is the highest form of punishment that based on can execute with. Under skila is sreifa, right, hereg v'chenek. And all of those items are included. I mean, skila includes all of those other mitot. I mean, if you do skila, you've also been mekayim hereg chenek v'nsaif. So too, each gradation down includes that which is below it. So now, what would be the punishment? When he comes, we have a punishment of saif. Saif is the second level, it's the second from the bottom. Chenek is the lowest form of punishment. So if he was a Jew, and he did this, and he violated an eshet ish, he would be chayav chenek. If he's a Ben Noach, he's chayav saif. Saif is a higher form of punishment than chenek. So therefore, when he comes into, as a Jew, he's put to death as chenek, That's subsumed under the category of Saif. Saif is Saif plus Chenek, meaning that it's as good as Chenek and Saif and more. So therefore, it's included, meaning his mita didn't change. His death penalty didn't change. Because if you downgrade him to a lower form of death penalty, that's subsumed in the higher form of death penalty. But to be machmir on him, that we cannot do. To elevate his status, then we can't do that. And that's what happens when the Ben Noach, who is Birkat Hashem, and then his mitgayer as a Ben Noach, he gets Saif. As a Jew, he's going to get Skila. To bring him up to the Chamura, you can't do that. Skila is not included in Saif. On the other hand, to downgrade him, you can do. I mean that if he was a Ben Noach, when he slept in Eshet Ish, he's Chayav Saif. Now when he comes to Ben Yisrael, he's Chayav Chenek. Chenek is a lower form of punishment. That we can do. That's subsumed under the category of Saif. So now Gemara says, okay, Hanicha l'Rabbanon, that works well. When you're Amar Saif Chamur, that they say Saif is above it and Chenek is below it. Al Rabbi Shimon Amar Chenek Chamur, that he has the reverse. He says Chenek is the second to last and Saif is the lowest form. Mayikulameimar, then you're actually upgrading him. No, but that's not true, because Rabbi Shimon Lashita Da, Rabbi Shimon Savar La Ketana de Beit Benasha, Tamar Komita Amural Beni Noach in Alab Chenek. He holds, no, he says that the Stam Mito of, not only does he hold Chenek is stricter, more stringent, or stricter than Saif, he also holds that a Ben Noach, the standard Misa of a Ben Noach is Chenek. So it'll be consistent. The Rabbanu who thinks Saif is the punishment for a Ben Noach also thinks Saif is greater than Chenek. And Rabbi Shimon who thinks that Chenek is greater than Saif also thinks that a Ben Noach gets Chenek. So therefore, if he comes over to be a Jew, then he's going to be Chenek and Chenek. It's not going to matter. So now, because Bishlama, Eshet Ish, Mikara Chenek, Vashta Chenek, that works well for Eshet Ish. Because in the beginning he was Chenek, and now he's Chenek. El Rotzeach, what are you going to do for Rabbi Shimon by Rotzeach? Mikara Chenek. In the beginning, as a Ben Noach, he got Chenek, Vashta Saif. And now he's going to get a punishment of Saif. You're downgrading him to Saif as a Jew. Zagmar says, Kal b'chamura misha shaychot. No problem. Downgrades? We allow downgrades of Mitzah. That's not a change in the punishment. Natosu says, really, in the end, it is a change in the punishment, but it is considered or classified as a change. It's just that it's Kala. You're allowed to give a lower form of punishment to someone who requires a higher form of punishment. You can be Mekel on them. You can't be Machmer on them. So to be Mekel on him, we permit over here. So that's not a problem to give him the lower form of punishment of Saif in the face of Chenek. We don't worry about that. So Lema Misayli, let us say that this is a proof to this, that Sarcha Vacha Kacha Bargra, this woman, a Nara Murasa, who violated her status as a Nara Murasa, and then she became older. I mean, she grew out of being a Nara Murasa. Tidon B'Chenek. She gets the judgment of Chenek. So, time alone. Why doesn't she get Skila? She violated, was an Eshet Ish. And she slept with someone else, had an extramarital affair when she was still a Nara Murasa. So true, we're only bringing her to Din later on. So why is she punished like Chenek, which is for a woman who is already beyond Nara Murasa, or beyond the Nara? How come we're giving her punishment of Chenek? Why don't we give her punishment of Skila? La mishum deho v'ishtane ishtane. Isn't it because she got older now? Now that she's older, there's nothing to talk about. True, when she was younger, if we brought her to trial when she was an Aram Rasa, she would have gotten that punishment. Now that we're bringing her to trial when she's already older, even though she perpetrated the crime when she was a Aram Rasa, nevertheless, since it's changed now, her din has changed, we don't bring her to din anymore. Over here, certainly, by the Ben Noach, when not only is it's ishtane dino and ishtane mitato. Over here, all we have is ishtane mitata, that her din, she still gets put to death. It's just what the death penalty is. The gamre, over there. So, damarle, Rabbi Yochanan, latana, tnei, tidon biskilo. So now, we have Rabbi Yochanan who says that this Tano, it was wrong. Tell them, alter this Brisa, and the Brisa should read, tidon biskilo. Not tidon bechenek, but rather tidon biskilo. And that would be she remains in the status that she was originally. So originally we thought it was a proof to what Rabbi Chanina had introduced before, that when you change, mean that your din has changed, when your mita has changed, therefore your body has changed. Now she's not an ara, she's a mivugeret. She doesn't get skill anymore. She's going to get chenek. That's all because of ishtane. She changed. When she changes, we don't go back and try her like she was at the time of the crime. So we thought, oh, that's a great proof to Rabbi Chanina that a Ben Noach doesn't get tried as when he's nizgayer as a Jew. He doesn't get tried because he is now in a totally different stage or state. So the Gemara says, no, it's not a proof because Rabbi Yochanan actually amended this brisa to read tnei v'skila. She still gets skila. Even though she's changed, she still gets skila. Now it's not a problem for Kamenina because over here you only have one thing that's changed. Over here only the mita has changed. Her death penalty would have changed, but nothing else changed. Or maybe only her body has changed over here, but the death penalty remains the same. So that's not a problem. If she gets skila now, there's only one change. By the Ben Noach, Rabbi Chanina, there are two changes. There's both the change of ishtane dino, the din is totally different, plus ishtane mitato, and the death penalty is also going to be different. So therefore, his again, it's not a proof to him, but it's also not a problem for him because you could distinguish between these two items. Okay, we'll stop over here.